It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Well, Grizz Week is here. How about that? We wait all this. We wait months and months and months and months and months for college football to start up again. We wait months and months and months and months for NFL to start up again. And we wait months and months and months for the Grizzlies to start up again. And particularly given the black hole that last year was.
The no fun year that last year was,
we got Grizz regular season games, meaningful regular season, let's get to it games starting this week. So that should be fun.
We even have a pay-per-view Monday Night Football game.
And we what?
We have a pay-per-view Monday Night Football game.
We have a pay-per-view Monday Night Football game. We got a doubleheader tonight.
Right, but they put one of them on Plus.
One of them is on Plus. We got lots of it was a ridiculous weekend. We now know the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees and Dodgers, two plucky upstarts, Jeffrey.
Yes.
But the TV execs must be happy about that. We got a new WNBA champion in controversial fashion. The Lynx coach says the win was stolen. Stolen. In fact, we had some controversy all weekend long, I'd say, wouldn't you say? It was a lot of controversy all weekend long in college football and elsewhere.
I do think, at least in college football, there were some calls that you're like, wait, what? But it didn't feel like it decided the outcome of the game.
No.
But
no.
If
you want to argue, it did not decide the outcome of the game at all. I mean, the Georgia one, the team that was...
It was just bizarre to watch.
I'm sure there's some Alabama fans out there that say the late unsportsmanlike conduct, which was only called one way, instead of, you know, but it still would have been 4th and 7, I think, had it not
been
called.
Yeah, it would have been 4th and 7. I think the one that they're upset about is the offsides.
Yeah.
But that was still...
Close.
Pretty bang. Like, even when they slow it down, you're like, yeah, he got... It looks like he's moving.
I would think I was surprised,
right,
in the moment.
Your instinct
wasn't called offsides.
He's offsides.
Anyway, so we have controversy to talk about. We got the NBA to talk about. We got the NFL to talk about. You know, there's one quarterback, Jeffrey, in the league who has not thrown an interception.
Yes.
For 9 straight games.
Yeah,
in fact,
all he does is turn it over, though.
There's one quarterback in the league who is only the third quarterback in history. Through 7 games, double-digit touchdowns and no picks. And this is the first quarterback, as you'll recall, Milt Plum in 1960.
Yeah, of course. Who could forget?
The second was Alex Smith in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And the third, that would be Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
But he's just a turnover machine.
Wild game last night. I say wild in that it looked like the Jets were going to set some stuff figured out, and then they decidedly did not. The Russell Wilson switcheroo. At least so far, is working for the Steelers. We got a lot to talk about, including a possible early defection for the Memphis Tiger basketball team.
Love it.
Unclear how this will play out, but there is mystery afoot.
I love how we thought we were going to have a clean week of Tiger basketball.
That's exactly right.
You know what?
It's a different
this
year.
This is what you get. We'll show
it's
you.
It's a no-drama different year. Everyone got in early, hand-picked guys. This is the...
After the whole drama of, like, September, like, it had been
clean
pretty quiet.
Slate,
like,
right,
you're thinking,
exactly.
Like, okay.
So we got a lot to talk about. We'll do that. We'll talk a little bit about college football in the open, and then, we'll, of course, we'll do the fight song roundup in the next segment. We'll honor some schools that deserve to be honored and blow up one that deserves to be blown up. Multiple contenders in that category, I have to say, this week. And it felt like all year. But multiple, whole states could be blown up, Jeffrey.
It's that time of the year we've
seen some coaches get whacked now. That's the other thing that started to happen in college football. Coaches, assistant coaches, both. And then Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris has a piece up about the things we learned during preseason. And so we'll talk to Chris about that. The one thing we did learn, if you were a follower of Drew Bomb, broke the news that Yuki is now on a two-way, has been elevated to a two-way. I guess now that Adrian Wojnarowski is no longer, you know,
team spokesman,
dropping the scoop, someone's gotta,
and it's there's a void.
Clearly not going to be Shams, And so it appeared. I didn't see that Shams credited Drew, but Drew,
usually
I think
does.
Usually credits Shams. We always do. Uh-huh. But anyway, Drew got that news, and we can and we'll talk to Chris about that. And then we got NFL, a whole lot of other stuff to get to. Did start with Memphis football. Memphis football got the win in dramatic fashion. I was flipping back and forth between Georgia, Texas, and the Memphis game. And I'll just say this. If you didn't know anything about either game, a team, which the stakes were higher, which Memphis game immensely more entertaining.
Way more fun to watch.
Once immensely more entertaining. Of the two games, it was the dramatically more entertaining game, and the Tigers win 52-44. They are now bowl eligible for the 11th straight season, and there's no question that bowl eligibility is not the bar that it once was, but it beats the hell out of the alternative.
Sure.
They've got 6 wins yet again. They are 6-1. They are bowl eligible. Seth Hennigan, with his 29th win, is now the winningest Memphis Tiger quarterback ever, and it was an electric game. Back and forth they went. Back and forth they went, including it was really something to see D.T. Sheffield, who's from nearby Corinth, play junior college right here in Mississippi, wound up at Washington State, then at North Texas. He scores the first two damn times that North Texas touches the ball. It was
10
unbelievable.
Seconds.
It was just incredible. And by the way, he then, after the game, popped on social media and said, anyone that has any NIL opportunities, he's open for business. What the tweet was actually, open to all NIL opportunities, DM me. I saw some people criticizing him for that, as he was saying.
Diego did the same thing.
No, the implication would be, some people misinterpreted this as, hey, I'm willing to transfer. I had a great game. It's not just one great game. He's been great. But, and so if you want to buy me to come to your team, let me know. That's not what he meant. He just meant, I had a great game. I'll do
appearances.
Right. Diego Pava did this exact same thing. I will, I'll endorse some stuff. I'm fast. And it was just unbelievable. Memphis would move the ball down the field, score a touchdown.
These, like, efficient, remarkable drives, like clean drives.
Clean, beautiful drives,
like,
perfect Mario Anderson, mix, balance, all this stuff. And then you got D.T. Sheffield. Zoop.
Here you go.
That's it. Once on a
let's see how fast
once
I can
on a handoff,
run 75 yards.
Once on a pass that he took, both 75 yards. I did tweet. At one point, Memphis went 6 straight 3-and-outs or 6 straight drives without a for just some 6 straight pointless empty drives. And I did tweet at that point. Memphis was still winning then. So I wasn't
it was 5
like,
straight 3-and-outs.
Yeah, I wasn't piling on Memphis because I said, I don't know who's going to win this game. But I'll say this. The North Texas offense is more fun. That's still true, by the way. The North Texas offense is a hell of a lot of fun. Chandler Morris is like wild. He's a piece of work. Like it is all gas, no brakes.
Oh boy.
It is something to watch. And you realize that it is how you play offensively is a choice.
Yes.
You know, it is a choice. Some will say, well, take what the defense gives me, whatever. No. It's a choice how you play offensively, and they're a blast. And Memphis was better. Memphis was better. Seth, an efficient 24 of 38, 319, and a touchdown. Mario Anderson rebounded from his spitting incident, his dreaded spitting incident. Twenty-two rushes, 183 yards, four touchdowns. It came down to though it was so. North Texas is trailing by eight, and they're trailing by eight because Memphis makes the swap of kickers after Caden Costa missed from 32. Ryan did the old switcheroo with kickers. Tristan Vanderberg comes in and hits a field goal with 105 left from 43 yards. Yeah. Big field goal because it meant they needed a touchdown.
It meant they were not going to lose in regulation.
Right, and they needed a touchdown and a two-pointer to tie. However, at that point, they just go zooming down the field, like converting long fourth downs. It was like, holy crap, what are we watching here? And they get down to the shadow of the goal line, and Chandler Martin with the pick. He's awesome at football. And Memphis wins to become bowl eligible, beat North Texas again, 6-1. And here we are. It's just a bizarre place for Memphis football to be. They're 6-1. They just won a thrilling, thrilling game against North Texas. The only loss they have is to a Navy team that turns out looks awesome. Navy wins again. Now, Navy's got to play Notre Dame. We shall see how that goes.
But and as bad as that loss was, they did still have the football inside Navy 100%. Territory with a chance to either take the lead or win.
So, like, things are rolling. Bowl eligible again. All-time winningest quarterback. Like, everyone should be happy. This is great stuff. 6-1, for God's sakes. 6-1. And yet, only 24,000 people there Saturday, and I gather it was modest. It was more modest than that in person. So there's not great excitement, you know, about the team. And their road to getting into the conference championship game looks very, very tricky, continuing to be very tricky because Army continues to roll 45-28 over East Carolina, which then fired its head coach, Mike Houston. We talked to Mike Houston last week because he's the highest paid coach yep. in the conference, or was, at north of $2 million. So Army continues to roll. Navy blasts Charlotte. Like, those games are over within 5 minutes of them starting, it feels like. Look at the scores, you're like, well, this isn't the week they're losing.
Yeah, you're like, didn't that game just start 10 minutes ago?
So, yeah. And so you've got those two right now in conference. Army's 6-0. Navy's 4-0. Tulane is 3-0. Memphis is 2-1. There's a lot of work to be done. Now, what's interesting, Jeffrey, is so it's really Army could lose. They play North Texas, right?
Sure.
They could lose to North Texas.
Yeah, because they also score.
They also play UTSA. It seems less likely, right?
Yeah. I mean, UTSA is a credible opponent, but like I have not been impressed by them at all.
So you need Army to lose to North Texas. Navy, they play at South Florida. South Florida fighting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Between South Florida players, by
yes.
the way.
Amongst themselves.
Losing to UAB. They did recover and win that game. Will produce acrimony. But South Florida, they're fighting amongst themselves. They also play Rice. Rice hung in there with Tulane a little bit this week, but still not good. And they play Tulane. Now, one of the interesting questions is, Jeffrey, we have said all along that that Memphis can't catch Navy because Navy's got to lose twice, right? But what happens, I ask you this, What happens if Memphis beats Tulane? Tulane beats Navy. We'll assume Army's undefeated. They're gone, right? But then we have a three-way tie for second. It's not then head-to-head. Head-to-head won't then determine.
Right, because everybody would be one-on-one against each other.
Everyone's one-on-one against each
right.
other. So this idea that it's a that Navy has to lose twice is a fallacy. But it seems to be that ranking is the tiebreaker. I think even there, Memphis has a tough hill to climb, except what if Navy just gets blasted by Notre Dame? Like, we've said the Navy-Notre Dame game's irrelevant, and it is in terms of conference standings, right? But if rankings matter, can you see Memphis in any way, shape, or form getting ranked ahead of Tulane and Navy?
I can, because in the scenario that we're talking about, Navy's going to end up taking two losses. So it won't just be the Notre Dame loss. Then Tulane will beat them.
Right.
And so then that's two losses. Now,
two losses since recent losses.
Correct. And then your final game of the year is Tulane. And
you so beat that Tulane.
Means, and that means you will have won what? At that point, eight straight, I think? Or seven straight? Something along those lines. And so this is where recency bias does come into play. Because your last loss will have been...
I think if you look good correct. In this process, and if Navy... I don't think it's totally far-fetched.
Right.
It's a hill to climb, but it looks more climbable than I would have imagined. It is just a weird thing. Like I don't believe I've had a year where I have seen Memphis football win so much and have it resonate so little.
Yeah, I think there's two primary components. Number one, it doesn't help that you're winning and you feel like it's kind of like, well, whatever, until Army and Navy lose. Like, well, this is kind of neither here nor there. And then I just think the other part is, when you're winning, but it's like, who are you beating that you actually care about? Like, the Florida State game, everybody cared.
Right.
Florida State loses that was, to Duke. I don't even, because everyone's like, do you regret that bet? They outgained them by 150 yards and you lose.
Florida State.
Yes.
Do you regret the Indiana bet?
That one I'm fine. Like, that one's just...
What the hell? Like, well, Indiana
You're taking Nebraska thinking, okay, Nebraska got healthy and everyone's jumping up on Indiana. It was nice to know, like, 6 seconds into the game, you're like, okay, move on. Like, this is done.
Anyway, interesting year for Memphis football, but you got to give the players and coaches credit for doing what they have to do, and that was electric. Like, if you've been wanting Memphis football to look like an explosive juggernaut, well, it helps to be playing North Texas, but they did what they did. We talked about this all last week.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to score the number of points they need to score?
And they did.
So the two massive SEC games, and we'll talk about them more in the Fight Song Roundup, the two massive SEC games were both revealing. Both have massive repercussions. The Tennessee game was entertaining, sort of, at the end.
Second half. The first half was kind of like...
First half, no one could get out of their own way.
Yeah.
Tennessee obviously wins 24, Alabama 17. Cigars for Tennessee. They do rush the field, Jeffrey. Now, you had said, I think, you were anti?
No, I was fine with it.
You were fine with rushing the field? Because
the only one I was going to be opposed to is had Texas won and Texas rushed the field. You're the number one team. You are favored. Come on.
Chris Lowe had this. In each of Alabama's last nine road losses, opposing fans have rushed the field. Tennessee fans have torn down the goalpost the last two times. In seven of the nine games, the opposing team was ranked. Last time it didn't happen was LSU loss in 2010. So you've got lots of times when ranked opposing teams have, upon beating Alabama, still rushed the field. Basically, every time. That's what they do. And that, by the way, is all about Alabama and Nick Saban.
100%.
That is a credit to Alabama.
That's a Nick Saban.
And to Nick Saban. And so even in their loss to Tennessee, Alabama is affirming where it has been anyway. We'll see where it's going in the college football hierarchy. I don't have any problem with Tennessee fans having fun scoring, taking down the goalposts, storming the field. The defense was just, but honestly, it was both in the Georgia game and the Tennessee game. These were both stories about the defense. The Georgia defense just wrecked Texas, and the Tennessee defense wrecked Alabama. 12 hurries, 3 sacks, 2 picks. In addition to the sacks, 3 more tackles for loss. And again, Tennessee was scoreless in the first half, but it's not like they didn't move the ball.
No, they moved it plenty fine.
They moved it plenty fine. They missed the field goal. They had the Sampson fumble. They had the pick. They get 143. Like they moved it fine. They just shot themselves in the foot, and then they straightened it out.
They had
in the more
yards.
Half.
They had more yards per play in the first half.
Yeah, the first half, and then in the second half, Nico was better, and the offense straightened itself out. Alabama, you know, not great. 15 penalties, and so you have what you have. Sampson 139 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, and. So there you go. Alabama, their first time they are 5-2 at this point of the season since 2007. Your thoughts on Tennessee? Are they now practically a lock to make the playoff? All they have left with winning records is they got Georgia and they got Vandy.
I don't think you can say a lock because, I mean, they could lose both those games.
They could.
They could easily win both.
But if
games.
They lose to Georgia right. and beat Vandy, let's just say.
Yeah, they're sitting at 10-2, and I think they're probably fine. Because I also think the other thing that we're seeing is, like, this idea that other teams aren't taking losses is probably wrong. To me, where they deserve credit is to look as bad as they did in the first half and still not panic. And then kind of keep picking and picking and picking and picking. And then finally in the second half, like they started to, all right, here's what we know works. Like, let's attack that. The fact that your defense is good enough to allow
to hold you
to
in
do
there
that,
and that, yeah.
Like, that's why Tennessee's different this year.
By the way, if you're drafting a quarterback this year,
you want
no part of Milroe, and you know, one right now, you want no part of Carson Beck.
I don't even know who you do want a part of. I want no part of yours.
Shadur.
Maybe. I mean, that's kind of like where, like, I think he feels like he's the most polished and the most ready, but I'm still got questions about, like, Shadur running, like, especially if the Giants draft him, Shadur running the show for the Giants. Like, that's, I don't know if that's the right environment.
We did have penalties.
Did we?
Well, a lot of penalties. Alabama had 15 penalties, but the two that got the most controversy, which we mentioned. There was an offsides that was not called that maybe should have been. It was bang, bang, coming off the edge. Upon review, who was the replay official who they had in the booth?
So Matt Austin.
Yeah. He said he thought it should have been called.
Yeah.
And I was surprised it wasn't. Could have timed it perfectly. And then I honestly thought the unsportsmanlike conduct where Kendrick Law got called for it. The Alabama player gets called for the response, but they should have been offsetting.
They should have been offsetting. There's also some delicious irony here. Alabama fans complaining about the officiating and the calls not going their way 100%. in a one score game.
It's
like,
in the end, you lost the damn game. Tennessee was the better team. Those calls
didn't help, but you will. To me, this is kind of the other problem that Alabama had. For the same reasons Tennessee deserves credit for their defense keeping them in, Alabama had a chance to put this game away, and they never did. And because of that, you allowed yourself, because you don't have this perfect defense like you're used to always having, you allowed yourself to put yourself in a position to where you could get got in the second half.
Georgia beats Texas 32-15. Georgia defense, which, by the way, was just It's mystifying. The first half against Alabama, allowing 31 points to Mississippi State, but they wrecked Texas. 4 takeaways, allowed only 29 rushing yards. And so it didn't matter that Carson Beck had 3 picks. He was 23 of 41, 175 yards. Georgia wins. And then we had the penalty where an interception was overturned. Pass interference call. Overturned. It would have gone against Texas. Texas fans rained bottles out of the stadium. And the call just disappeared.
Well, first off, I didn't even know you could do this. So I guess technically what you could say is it's no different than when they throw a flag and they huddle up.
Yeah.
And they,
in the end, that's the explanation. So Texas, just in case anyone is, Texas makes the pick. Okay. Texas picks off the ball. And, but the original call is pass interference, right? That's the original call on the field, is that the Texas corner, Texas defensive back, was guilty of pass interference. Bottles rain down. Officials get their heads together and realize, oh, no, 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 no.
This play has to be stopped to,
it
get,
was
the...
to get the bottles up.
Correct.
And during the break, the officials get together and say, oh, wait, wait. It, we meant to be calling pass interference on the receiver,
right,
not the defensive back. The call was not reversed. They didn't, as the officials said, the assessment of the penalty was not properly executed. Which is true. You get you want to make sure that the, if you in fact call a penalty,
that you did put to the right
that
side.
You, that you, yes, put it to the right side.
You get, agreed.
The problem was, is the only thing that gave them time to figure it out was the bottles falling on the field.
Right. The fact that the game was delayed. Like, so for instance, let's say that they just make the call and move on. There's no way this thing gets flipped.
Right. But the question Kirby Smart says sets a bad precedent, and I guess it does, but the only precedent is for a call that was misapplied. You know, like, I mean, and not that they aren't a lot. They will, the precedent here is that not you can get together and reconsider a call. It's just you can get together and, oh, if you so badly effed up that you gave the call on the wrong team, even though you meant to give it on the other team, you can straighten that out. That's not going to happen often.
Yeah, and let's also be clear. That's not what happened. Because if that is what happened, say if you, say you get the head official and, like, he's, you know, hey, it was supposed to be 7 on red, not, or 7 on white, not 7 on orange. They would just sit there. The official would come in and stop, right, the whistle and say, hey,
so
hey.
They lied.
Right. So
they
reevaluate.
They did.
Well, they saw the thing on the replay, and they're like, "Oh God, that really wasn't the right call."
It didn't matter because Georgia wins.
It didn't matter because Texas couldn't block Georgia.
Texas could not block Georgia. Texas could not block. This is the Georgia team that people. They saw. This is the Georgia team that we saw beat up Clemson.
Correct.
And that we expected to see all year long, and that has reemerged. This is what happens now in the world of college football. You can have dips. You can recover. It's just like the NFL.
Yes.
You can have a bad stretch of 2 or 3 games. You can find yourself again. It's going to be about momentum. It's going to be about health. It's going to be all kinds of things. It's turned into the NFL.
Matchups.
And that's another one. Matchups will also matter dramatically. All right. We're going to come back. We're going to do the fight song roundup when we return. Before then, I will tell you, if you have something that you want framed, take it to the Frame Corner. In fact, we've got holidays coming up. And during the holidays, you want to not just give something. If you can give a gift that is thoughtful, that is literally thoughtful, extra points for that. And at the Frame Corner Memphis, they will take, whether it's collections of memorabilia or whether it's photographs, whether it's a piece of art, maybe it's something from a wedding or a graduation, and they'll frame it and they'll make it look beautiful, and you will have it forever, and you will have it to hand down, and you can present it as a gift, for example, over the holidays, and they'll say, "Ah, oh, wasn't that thoughtful?" They do a beautiful job with custom framing at Frame Corner. It's framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. We will do the fight song roundup when we return. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do the fight song roundup. Yeah, we've talked about a few of these. We're going to rip through them pretty quickly, but we didn't want a short them being celebrated. Listen, say what you want about Memphis's schedule. Say what you want about the challenge that they now face heading into trying to get to the conference championship game. But they are bowl eligible yet again. I covered the New Orleans Bowl when they went for the first time in decades and recall the delirium at that development. And so to be bowl eligible for 11 straight years, to come out on top of a high-flying North Texas team is worthy and does merit playing the Memphis fight song. Good for the Memphis Tigers. Next. You know, you beat Alabama once, and, like, that's great. That's great. That was a celebration 2 years ago for the ages. The tears. Just wanted to live long enough to see that again. This, though, this one, I don't know.
You're the
right
better
now,
team.
Who's got the better program?
That's always tough because, you know, Alabama is still recruiting at a very high level. But, like, to me, the difference was in that game, like, that was a shootout where you get high variance. And oftentimes, like, oftentimes in that situation, quote unquote, the best team doesn't always win. I think what we saw in this game was, like, clearly Tennessee was just better than Alabama.
So that does bring us to, anyway, certainly worthy of celebration for Tennessee. It feels like they are headed for the playoff. Obviously, nothing guaranteed, but it feels like they're heading to the playoff. Still have some things to figure out on offense, but that defense is legit. Running back is legit. And they got another one to hang on the wall against Alabama.
If I have no idea who's going to be in the SEC championship game.
Well, I was going to get to that ultimately, but we do have this weekend the number one and two teams in the SEC play each other.
Yes.
And they, of course, are LSU and Texas A&M.
As everybody thought.
As everyone still knows and imagines, the two best teams in the... No, it's crazy. It is crazy. Who is going to get to the SEC championship game? Wrapping up on the Tennessee-Alabama game, though, it's amazing. Kalen DeBoer goes from beating Georgia, toast of the town. Nick who? Okay, it was never Nick who.
But it was, we got our right guy.
It was certainly we got the right guy. To losing to Vanderbilt, and now losing to Tennessee. Do you think he regrets it?
No, because even if it doesn't work, he's still going to make like check. He's going to make like $80 million.
And he'd go somewhere else and be a good coach
Correct.
Somewhere else. Well, I mean, it's not just that they're losing to Tennessee. They're undisciplined. This would never happen under Nick. You know, it's all of that. And then Nick's on TV talking about you.
Yeah, it doesn't help that, like, to act like they never got penalties under Nick was stupid. The problem is they did not get the, oh, my God, they look undisciplined
right.
penalties. Like, the personal fouls that are quote-unquote selfish plays.
Right.
They didn't have that. Like they have right now. That's the difference.
All right. Next. Georgia's back to number two in the polls. Obviously took the loss they took the loss to Alabama, but they look right now, Jeffrey, pick a team that's going to win the national championship.
I was trying to find Georgia futures.
It's Georgia, right?
It's almost like the team that we thought was probably the best team coming into the year. Like, that's the other thing. Yes, they have a loss against Alabama, and they've at times looked kind of iffy. They're still one play away from being undefeated and having beaten Texas and Alabama on the road. Like, they would unquestionably be the number one team. And by the way, in one of those games, they were down 30-7.
How much do you think Carson Beck misses Ladd McConkey?
A lot. Because
and Brock Bowers. Like last year, it was Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers. You're throwing to those two dudes.
To me, the key is, if you ask me, like, what concerns you about Georgia, the receiving core is what concerns me. Because, yeah, he throws three picks, and one or two of them I thought were just ill-advised throws. But they come out of the game, he throws three straight dimes, and they're dropped, and they're three and out punting.
Right.
Like...
All right, now we go on to some folks we have not talked about yet today. Who else are we playing, Jeffrey?
We heard this a lot on Saturday, on Big Noon Saturday.
Kind of amazing. Indiana. Jeffrey, let's revisit that Cinderella fairy tale we were talking about
yes.
last week.
Uh-huh.
I think at the end...
It's only 11 o'clock.
Cinderella takes a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And smashes everybody and rules the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Indiana 56, Nebraska 7. Indiana is undefeated. You tell me who's going to make the who's going to be in the SEC championship game. Tell me this: who is going to make the playoff from the Big Ten? Because you would think it would be Oregon, it would be Ohio State, and it might be Penn State, right? They can't. They're not going to get four. They're not going to get four. What's going to happen now? And Indiana, obviously, they got to play Ohio State.
Correct.
But beyond that, that's it.
They get Washington at home this week at Michigan State.
At Michigan State, and then Ohio State.
Right. The key, though, is
they're going to. I've only lost to Ohio State.
Well, how long is the Maple Missile out?
Unclear.
So
Curtis
Rourke,
this is Curtis Rourke's finger got all
he's
effed got.
He's
up.
Out indefinitely.
He
with
played.
The finger.
He missed the first. Honestly, they didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, but they're going to. He is like for the Max aficionados out there.
Let's assume continued Indiana success if they beat they lose to Ohio State, beat Washington, beat Michigan State. What happens?
Well, I mean, then they'll be in the same position. I think that we're talking about with. So Indiana would get left out because Indiana will not have played Oregon. So they will be 0-1 of the three-way tie, like making the assumption that Oregon and Ohio State basically went out. Ohio State would then go.
But who goes to the playoff?
Well, then the other question is, what does Penn State have left?
Indiana, by the way, Indiana, this is just unbelievable.
I just don't believe they're going to leave out a one-loss Big Ten team, no matter how soft their schedule is or isn't.
The Huskers, the idea was Indiana would finally come up against a team. Not that Nebraska's great. 13th in the country in total defense. Nebraska had given up 8 touchdowns in 6 games. Nebraska had not given up a rushing touchdown.
Correct.
So they play Indiana, having given up 8 touchdowns in 6 games, and Indiana scores 8 touchdowns in 12 possessions.
Yes.
They had not given up a rushing TD, had Nebraska, and Indiana had 5. 5 of them.
Yeah, let me read you Indiana's drive charts here. 8 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 5 plays, turnover on downs. 6 plays, 88 yards, touchdown. 10 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 4 plays, 74 yards, touchdown. They did throw the pick. Then 3 plays, touchdown. 4 plays, touchdown. 4 plays, touchdown.
It's just unbelievable.
That will get the job done.
And that's
done.
A fun story. Google it. He wins.
Well, I'll tell you what else it doesn't help. When you see this, and then you start to hear your coach talk about, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Right, exactly.
It's like, well.
Yeah, no, Rome, turns out.
Maybe it can be.
Rome can be built in a day. While we're talking about the Big Ten, and we're not playing the Illinois fight song, but we could. That was one of my first ones to miss. Illinois beats Michigan. I think you called this, didn't you?
We did.
Brett Bielema, good for him. Now, mind you, Illinois's got Oregon next week, but Illinois is 6-1. And Michigan, which made the quarterback swap.
Yeah.
Jack Tuttle didn't help. Everyone's getting their licks in. Everyone's getting their licks in. And you know who's next for Michigan? Michigan State. Could that happen? Could that happen? Michigan State was honestly better. They beat Iowa 32-20, ran for 212 yards. Could Michigan State also be getting their revenge, getting their, you know, cut of Michigan this year?
They can. The problem with Michigan State is Aiden Shiles is like the ultimate boomer bust guy. Like, when it's good, you're like, this guy could be the number one pick. Like, this guy's awesome. And then you watch him and it's just like, whoops, there's another 3 picks. Like, it's just, I don't love the thought of him against a disciplined defense, although he looked pretty good against Iowa.
Michigan is 4-3 with Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State still to go. Not a great year.
I mean, it's not guaranteed they're going to make a bowl.
The Wolverines. We're not playing Miami's fight song, but Miami does Miami. Every week they seem to do Miami. I flipped them on, and they were flopping on a ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they were flopping on a ball. Cam Ward was good again. Although, honestly, they gave up just as much as they got. And
that's kind of what they do, though. Their secondary is very susceptible to the big play.
All right. I have lots of others I could celebrate, Jeffrey. Here are some of the other options, for example, right? We could celebrate LSU.
Sure.
LSU, like that one, people wondered, tricky spot for
100%.
LSU, right? And I think that defense getting better?
Defense is getting better, and Nussmeier is really getting better.
You would argue maybe the best quarterback in the SEC?
I think there's a chance he winds up being one of the first quarterbacks taken. Because people are going to fall in love with the arm.
So they play at Texas A&M this week for sole possession of the lead in the SEC. Whit Weeks with another. A guy had, like, I think the 10,000 tackles against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
It was. And then he had the interception in this one that really, they're up 16-10. And then he picks off, tips a pass, picks it off, runs it out of the 2.
It was starting to get a little uncomfortable. And then he makes that play. And you're like,
he's going to be a folk hero.
Over.
The old never have to drink, buy a drink again in Baton Rouge for that dude. Also, by the way, folk hero stuff, Brady Cook, as Missouri beats Auburn. Brady
from
Cook
the hospital.
Goes to the hospital, gets an MRI, comes back. 194 yards passing in the fourth quarter, 2 long touchdowns and touchdown drives. And so he has 194 yards passing in the fourth quarter. Peyton Thorne, 176 yards passing for the game.
Yeah, I think the other stat we saw is, Jeff, this really hurt me, but Auburn with a 2 touchdown lead in the second half previously was 151-1.
Ooh.
Well, they're now 151-2.
Does Missouri present much challenge for Alabama? Could they continue Alabama's miseries?
They They could in this sense. They do have two extremely good wide receivers, and the back half of Alabama's secondary is very suspect. So, yes, they could, but I think there's always just going to be like a lot of like, well, what did we see last week?
Others to celebrate. Iowa State.
Yes. What a comeback that was.
Just sort of like BYU. Those yes. two both like pulled it out to become undefeated. Colorado, 5-2. And by the way, look at that defense. 6 sacks, forced 3 turnovers. Colorado beats Arizona. How about that one? How about Notre Dame? Notre Dame, some thought might wonder if that would be tricky for Georgia Tech, 31-13.
I was impressed with Arizona. The thing with the Georgia Tech Notre Dame one, I'm not taking anything away from Notre Dame, but Georgia Tech without
right.
Haynes King.
Yeah, talked about that.
Colorado forever. Deserves all the credit. They jumped up on Arizona and they never let that game really get that weird.
Clemson beat Virginia now.
Yeah, but they didn't show killer instinct. They didn't cover.
Since then, their average margin of victory is 27.3 points. Yeah,
they allowed 21 points in the fourth quarter to not cover.
Okay, well, never
mind. They have some Swinney's and Herb Streets on the
never
field?
Never mind that one then. All right. So, we got to blow up, Jeffrey.
Well, no, we got to celebrate one more team.
Oh, that's true. That's right. I said we were struggling with who to celebrate. This one, it's not what they did this weekend. It's not what they did this weekend that we're celebrating. It's the fact that Vandy's ranked. They beat Ball State, whatever.
It was the ultimate.
And now they get Texas.
At home.
At home. Fill up that stadium, Vandy fans.
I don't love the spot, if we're being honest.
I don't love the spot. That's why we got to celebrate them now. They're one game away from bowl eligibility.
I know. But
who do they have left?
Well, I need him to be rested up for next week. They go to the Plains. And Diego's trying to go 3-for-3 in the state of Alabama. Or against the state of Alabama.
That's the bowl eligibility game right there.
Be a real shame, wouldn't it?
Got to celebrate Vandy when they can. Ranked Vanderbilt. All right, who are we blowing up?
Hello.
So many choices here, by the way. I just get sick of blowing up Florida State. Plus, I want to give all credit to Duke. Duke now 1-20
mm-hmm.
against Florida State all time. But that one is sweet, baby.
Yes, it does.
That one is sweet, and Duke is 6-1. Florida State is 1-6. So, yeah, we could blow up them. We could blow up Kentucky. Kentucky beat Ole Miss, Jeffrey.
I know. That's going to be the one. Remember we said that's going to be the one that stinks.
And Florida drills Kentucky 48-20. Billy Napier trying to save his job. Here's the thing, though. Nice work by Billy Napier. DJ Lagway, 5 throws of 40 or more yards each. The problem with Florida as they try to save Billy Napier's job is they got Georgia, Texas, and LSU coming up.
They got it right where they want them, though.
But we played Oklahoma's fight song. That was Oklahoma's fight song because Oklahoma somehow lost to South Carolina 35-9 at Norman and have since fired Seth Luttrell, the
problem solved.
See, it was 32-3 at the half. South Carolina over Oklahoma. They have scored 5 offensive touchdowns in the last 4 games. And Brent Venables, who is not Seth Luttrell, he is 11-11 in conference at Oklahoma. This, by the way,
good thing he got that extension, huh?
They gave him for no good reason mm-hmm. whatsoever. Literally no good reason whatsoever. An extension before this season. Utterly unnecessary. Mm-hmm. He now has a $44 million buyout. And by the way, the whole state is miserable because Oklahoma State also stinks, having lost to BYU. I would ask you, which state unhappier, the state of Alabama or the state of Oklahoma? 2 states that care as much or more about college football than any other states in the union, right? Wouldn't you say?
I mean, Texas has got to be up there.
Texas is up there, but at least Texas has the diversion of the Cowboys. You know, they got pro teams.
Yeah.
Oklahoma has
Texas
one
and Texas A&M. They're still sitting there with one loss.
Yes.
Each.
They're not unhappy. They're not unhappy the way that Alabama and Oklahoma are unhappy.
Right.
Not even close.
Well, and Auburn.
That's what I'm saying. The state of Alabama has... state of Alabama, I give you Alabama, intensely unhappy. Auburn, intensely unhappy. Throw in UAB, not real happy. Troy hasn't exactly carried the... Whatever. Alabama's miserable. The state of Alabama
is
miserable.
Troy's been god-awful.
God-awful. And then you've got the state of Oklahoma. Oklahoma, miserable.
There is also
Oklahoma
another,
State, miserable.
There's another talent-rich state. Florida.
Florida. Oh, my God, they're
because
miserable.
Because no one there cares about Miami.
Holy smokes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they do have Miami, but no one cares about Miami.
But then,
it's a Florida state.
That's the New Yorkers in Florida that care about Miami.
That's true. God.
Because it's not like FAU's good. UCF has been a disappointment.
There's a lot of unhappy. You know who else is unhappy? California.
Yeah.
Except they don't give a flip.
Yeah, that's
but California is unhappy because UCLA is just god-awful. USC lost to Maryland, for heaven's sakes.
Well, they broke up the conference
weekend.
To go lose to Maryland.
Whew. So, but let's return to South Carolina and Oklahoma. Fire Seth Luttrell. It just feels like Brett Venables is the wrong guy.
So the thing that I've noticed that's interesting, Pete Thamel did the tweet thread last week about how no head coach has been fired yet, and that's becoming a new trend. So I think what we're going to start to see is the trend that we saw this weekend. Okay, we can't fire our coaches right now, but we can fire our offensive coordinators or our defensive coordinators.
Utah.
I feel like there's more.
Utah.
Andy Ludwig.
He walked away or was fired or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And we do have had two firings, but they're group of five firings.
Yes.
Mike Houston at East Carolina and Will Hall fired at Southern Miss. So we do have two group of five hirings, but we got. You think it's OC firings?
Yes. So we're going to start seeing. It's more of like that. To me, this is like another piece of evidence of becoming diet NFL. Like usually the NFL, we see some midseason coach firings, but we see more coordinators getting fired midseason.
All right. So there you go. That is the status of college football. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. Then we have other matters to talk to, including some sudden drama in the Memphis Tiger basketball program. And an entertaining NFL week. We got two NFL games tonight as well. But we'll talk to Chris about the Grizzlies. It is Grizzlies week. They open Wednesday at Utah. We'll talk to Chris coming up next. Before that, I will tell you, if you are selling your house, call Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Or joshhasthebuyers.com. That's a strategically named website, joshhasthebuyers.com. Because you know what you want when you're looking for a real estate agent? Someone who has
buyers ready to get
buyers. I actually went to six open houses yesterday. I was just starting to look around because I need a smaller house. And I went to six open houses and I was talking to realtors and I was talking about how these days houses are sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting. And what's why you need someone who knows how to market your house like Josh Hysaw. Heck, look at the marketing that he does just on this radio station. He can do the same thing for you and your home. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract anytime. It is Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams. 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. Chris Harrington coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.